Next, for the scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 18. 2 Samuel, chapter 18. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, and will not, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the trunk of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it, and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Behold, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said unto him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Then said Joab to Cushai, "Go, tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz the son of Zadok yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings." And the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings." And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servants and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you about the portion we read together, and we emphasize the last verse 33 to Samuel 18, verse 33. "And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, this he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" That's what we write above the sermon. Absalom, my son, my son. Absalom, My son. We in the first place see David's guilt. He is in a deep sorrow, but he is also in a great guilt. In the second place, we see David's grief, his deep sorrow. The father lost his beloved child, not only, but so much more. And in the third place, we see David's wish. Would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. Absalom, my son. My dear children, David's grief, and David's wish. Dear congregation, do you often think at your last day? I think that's good to do that often. How shall be my last day and my last time on this earth? For very soon shall we be there. Your last day. What do you expect on that day? Shall that be your best day? The day full of joy? The day when the Lord, with his love, fills your heart and make it full of desire to be there where no sin is. No sin. When you are a child of God, that's the deepest longing of your heart. No sin. For sin, also in the life of the people of God, makes everything so dark, so terrible, so miserable. Do you hate sin? Before we go to our text, I take you with me for a moment to the last days of the man after God's heart, David. A happy man, really. For his own feeling, so often unhappy. Also in the history we read, so full of grief, so full of deep sorrow. But the day has gone, and then waits eternal glory. Eternal. His grief is only for a short time. Eternity. Let that word be often in your soul. Eternity. Well, it is light in his heart. Christ, the light of the world, is shining in all his brightness in his soul. In his last days, he is on the mountain of faith in living exercise. And when you are on the mountain, you have a very nice view. When the sun is shining and everything is bright, you can look back and you can look forwards. Sometimes the Lord gives that moments in the life of his people. And you are really blessed when you have that. on your last day, then you can look back on your life, now passed away nearly, when you can look forward to eternity and know where you shall be within a few moments. It's very impressive. Listen to what the man after God's heart is witnessing. When he looks back, although my house be not so with God, it's a ruin. It's terrible. Not so with God. That was his prayer, that was his wish. But reality was so different. When he looks back, there's nothing on which he can be proud, on which he can build. Nothing. Not so with God as it ought to be. You hear and feel the wish. My house ought to be with God. My children ought to fear God. God must be glorified in my house. Terence, is that the prayer daily and the deepest wish of your heart? Can your children feel that? For that's the desire of every true child of God. That God may be glorified in my heart, in my house, by me and through me. And yet, what a deficit. What comes he short? What a sorrow at one hand, but there is the other side. Looking forward, no looking backward. Yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. Yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. And you know Christ himself is the center of that covenant of grace. So his eyes are fixed on Christ and his covenant. Faithfulness of God in Christ. An everlasting covenant. Everlasting love. Everlasting glory. And he is at the end of time and very near that everlasting life. Then you are a blessed man, isn't it? When you have that living hope founded in the grace, in the covenant, in the love of God himself, made sure in your heart and life by the Holy Spirit as a wonderful reality. For true religion and true faith is reality, is experience. And David has the experience and the sureness when he is in his last day, ordered in all things, so perfect, for everything is provided. Everything is quite to the glory of God, and old and sure, and sure. That's often the struggle in the heart of the people of God. Is it true? Sureness. But David, by the grace of God, has here the sureness as a deep, wonderful reality in his heart. It's sure. It depends not on me. His covenant, his work, his love, his grace, his promise, that's sure. You can build on it. Not on what we are and do and feel, but on what God has done and said and does, and make sure in your heart. That's the true surety. For this is all my salvation.
Outside this, no salvation. No happiness.
Do you really realize that, my young people? Only in the covenant of grace, only in Christ, is all your salvation. And when you miss that, you have nothing. Then eternal destruction. Eternity. These two sides, eternal saved, eternal lost, we see very clearly in this history. For this godly man, David, had a wicked son, Absalom. And we see David here in a great sorrow and grief about his son. Absalom, my son, my son. And in the first place, we see David's guilt. What is the background of this moving and utterly sad situation?
Sometimes the Lord chastens his people. And there is not a line directly to what they did, to their own guilt. We can think of Job. He was living very close to the Lord. And yet he received a great loss and grief, a great sorrow in his life. And the Lord wanted to teach him lessons very necessary to teach for us too. But often there is a relation between our own guilt and our sufferings. Also in the life of the children of God. And that's what we see here. We see in the first place David's guilt that makes it the more bad. When you must say, it's my own fault, it's my own mistake, it's my own guilt that I suffer this now. In the first place, we see his house. For he confessed himself when he was at the end. Although my house be not so with God. How was the house of King David? His married life. That was terrible. He had a lot of wives. He had quite a number. He had a lot of children of different wives. His married life was a ruin. Yeah, you can say that was normal in that time. That was the culture. That was the tradition. But the culture, my dear friends, it's not our norm. Our norm isn't stays the Word of God. We live in a culture too. An American culture. Very modern. Everything is permitted. In the Netherlands too, in Europe. Maybe much more bad there. That's our culture. Culture against the Word of God. That's cursed.
And that's our calling. Not the world. Not to follow the world, but to follow the Word.
My dear young people, do you hear? Not to follow the world, but to follow the Word.
It's one letter difference. But often it is an eternity difference. Keep that in your mind and memory. Keep it in your heart. Not to follow the world, but to follow the Word. Then you can be blessed only. And on this side, David followed the world. For in his time, it was normal that a king had a lot of wives. But in the light of the world, It is a great sin. For the Lord created man and wife, and they, that one man, that one wife, shall be one flesh. And when they live according to the word of God, they shall be blessed in it. And all things which are against it bring their curse, bring their misery, bring their guilt. Also in the life of the people of God, when they follow the world. And so he didn't know what was really a happy marriage. And there happened a lot of things which were terrible to say. Amnon, his eldest son, he defiled his own sister, Tamar. A very bad story, isn't it? It's very, very sad when you see these things from your children. When they do such terrible things. His own sister. And what had David to do? For this is all the background of the history we have. What had David to do? He was a father. He had to warn as a father. He had to punish as a father. But he was also king. He was also judge. And the crime Amnon committed was death worthy. Every man in Israel in that time, in the light of the holy law of God, who had committed such a crime, he should have the sentence of death. But David didn't speak out that sentence, for it was his own son. It was his own flesh. And he was soft, for it was his son. He did not say anything. It was terrible. Fathers, mothers, do you love your children really? Don't be soft. When you really love them, you punish them where it is needed. You cannot permit and accept what is evil in your house, in your family. You ought to be at the sight of God. And then you are not. It shall come back. And it comes back. Everything comes back here. In the great sorrow for what happens. Absalom, the brother of Tamar, the defiled girl, Absalom, he kills his own brother. He's a murderer. From human sight seen, maybe it's understandable. But it's not right. In the sight of the law and the Lord. He's a killer. Nice face, friendly outlook, inviting his brother, seeking an opportunity to kill him, to hide hate behind a friendly face. That's man. That's terrible, friends. Our heart and face ought to be a unity, a loving heart, a loving face, but a hating heart and a loving face, hypocrisy, that happens in the house of David. Has David learned now? No. It's Absalom, his son, his idol, his darling. And Absalom is sent in exile, yes. He receives some punishment, but not the punishment he deserves. For what, my children, is the punishment which Absalom deserves? Yes, you are right. You are saying in your thought now, death. When we willingly kill another person, we deserve death in the light of the Holy Word. That's very clear in the Bible. And any man who should have killed another man in that time, he should have the sentence of death. But Absalom not. For it was his own flesh and blood. It was his most beloved son. It was his idol. And always the Lord chastens his people with their idols. In his grace, in his love, he takes them away. That's what happens here. Terrible situation in the house of David. His house not so with God. Absalom, you know the history. In course of time, he comes back. And he receives anew the high position in the heart, in the house of David. He's a very wicked person. Very wicked. David sees his own crimes. Adultery. Murderer. He sees it back in his own children. And maybe therefore it was so difficult too for him to be just. And to punish the guilt of his children according what they deserved. For he saw back in his own seed his own crimes. Who shall give the clean out of an unclean? And when we know the Lord and know his grace, that gives a deep sorrow in our heart. O Lord, I see in my children my own sin. And Absalom, he comes back from exile. In course of time, he is restored in his place, in his honor. And he has everything what a man can wish. He's extremely beautiful, attractive, the most beautiful man of Israel. He could win everybody for himself. And that's what he tried. He wanted to have the place of honor. He wanted to have the place of his father. And then came the desire in his heart to kill his own father. My dear children, my young people, what are you doing with your parents? No, of course, there's no thought at all to do them anything evil, Pastor. How can you think such a thing? Do you love them really? Do you honor them, my children and young people? Do you love your children, your parents, because you see that they love the Lord? What are you doing with your parents? Honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first promise, command with a promise. Or are you the cause of their grief, their sorrow, because you don't fear the Lord, really? Because your heart is desiring after the world. Because you have not real interest in the things of the covenant of grace. Your soul, the forgiveness of your sin. Is that not so much important for you, my young people?
Or can you say by grace, yes, Pastor, I'm united with my parents. I'm one
in the same desire to seek the Lord, to follow the world, not the world. That should be a blessing. Greatest blessing. When there is a unity in the families. When our houses are really little churches.
So as Calvin is saying. But it's not the case here. He rebelled against his own father. And he succeeded. A big part of the people of Israel came behind Absalom. David had to flee for his own son, his idol, his most beloved one.
He loved him with all his heart. But Absalom didn't love his father at all. He wanted to kill him.
Is a man so bad? Is human nature so bad? Yes. Are we better? No. Do you know your own heart? I am inclined to hate God and my neighbor. I am inclined. We need a new birth. We need a new life. We need a new love. We need Christ. Otherwise, we are, in essence, the same. Our heart is not better than the heart of Absalom.
We must know our own heart. How evil it is. How hateful it is. How terrible it is.
So that we really ask the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. That was the prayer of David. He felt the corruption of his own heart. And he felt the need of a new heart, wherein Christ by his Spirit is ruling. That's what we need too, my dear congregation. Absalom hated his father. That was a very deep sorrow for David. His most beloved son didn't love him at all. He wanted to kill him.
And what do we? My dear young children, of course you say, Pastor, I cannot follow you. I cannot say that I am converted. I cannot say that I am saved. I cannot say that I know Christ really. But I love my parents. I have not such a hateful heart as Absalom. I think it's terrible. Such a wicked man. Such a wretched man. Then I have a question for you. What are you doing with the Heavenly Father? What are we all doing with our Father which is in heaven? Every sin, in every sin, we try to kill God. Let it come in your heart. In every sin, with every sin, we crucify Christ. Let it stay in your heart. We are killers. We are murderers of God. This Jesus crucified
by you, and they were pierced in their heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We are so nice people, so gentle, so loving, so soft. We are not congregation. We are really not. We are haters of God by nature. Our eyes must be opened. Our heart must be broken. And reality, the terrible reality of our natural hate, must be clear for us. And then we become, in our own sight and feeling, what we are, the chief of sinners. And then we cannot say anything to Absalom. Our hand goes on our mouth. O Lord, so am I. That's my image. That's my picture. That's my nature. We have all sinned and come short the glory of God. The Lord made us so good. What do we read in Genesis 6 verse 6? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's a wonderful text. That's a very deep text. In a divine way, which goes above all our understanding, Lord expresses in a human way of saying to let us know what is in his heart about our sinful nature. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. What a grief we do by our sin to our Heavenly Father. That's what we need to know. That's what the Spirit let us know when he convicts us of our sin. And then David, he had to fight against his own sin. Why? Because he spared him. Because he didn't give him the punishment he deserved. Because he spared and loved his own flesh. Therefore, that was his guilt. That was his sorrow now. The cause of all his sorrow. When he had come punished the crime according to the law of God, he had another sorrow, of course. A deep sorrow. When you have to give over your own sin to justness, to death, because he deserves it. That's a deep sorrow. But you have the feeling you do right in the eyes of God, and you have the comfort of the nearness of the Lord. How difficult it should have been. Yet, it was the way. But that way he didn't go. The Lord himself went that way. Perfect justness of God. What a contradiction. David didn't spare his own son. And that seemed to be love. But it was not love. It was self-love. Love which is not founded in the just, in the justice, is no love. We deceive ourselves. True love is founded in justice. Love and justice must be a unity. That's the secret of the grace of God. The love of God is founded in his justice. God did not spare his own son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,
A son so perfect. A son without any sin. A son without any blame. Do you see the contradiction? What is man? Who is God? In His love, His pure love, His true love, founded in His justice. And Christ gave Himself.
And therefore, David, he receives forgiveness for his self-love. And then he was in his last days. He had to confess, my house, not so is God. And yet, his covenant. And in that covenant, we see Christ in all his glory, in all his love, in all his righteousness. We see God the Father, so just and so merciful, such wonderful attributes combined, united. There is such a sweet and wonderful unity in the Lord. There was another sorrow in the heart of David, a very deep sorrow, when he cried out, Absalom, my son, my son. I think that's the deepest sorrow a father, a mother can have. For what you knew, David, there was no hope for Absalom. He lived in sin. He lived in the world. And he died in sin. And my young people, and also my older people, when you live in sin, and there comes no repentance, no conversion, then you shall die in your sin. And David, in his own experience, he knew something of the pains and the sorrow of hell. One little bit. Read Psalm 116. Bounded in the bounds of hell. He knew in his own experience very little what it is. The anger of God. The wrath, the anger of God, because his sin. Read Psalm 38 when you come at home. That's what he knew in his own experience. And by the grace of God, he also knew what was and is forgiving love and peace. And he knew and felt this separation is for all eternity. And my own child is now in the place where God only is known as a consuming fire. In the eternal wrath, the eternal pain, there is now my child. And what a guilt at my side. I didn't warn him enough. I made an idol of him. He was my darling. What a deep sorrow. We cannot feel that when we don't have it. But parents, when you see your children living on the Broadway, when you see them on the way to eternal destruction, and then you hear them, he died. He died. An accident, car accident, something else, lost, no hope. no hope for eternity. That's the most bad thing. That's the deepest grief. What a happiness at the other side. When you have a deep loss, when you lose a child, it's very painful. But what a comfort, what a joy, when you can believe, and when it is true, that your child glorifies the Lord forever. Then you have a joy which the world doesn't know. In the middle of your grief and sorrow, then you have moments of sweet and wonderful comfort in your sadly lost. But that's what David missed here. Absalom. My son. My son. Lost. Sick. Died. In his wicked way. My young people, what a warning. When you are on the broad way, convert, repent, come back, seek the Lord. But it is now the time of grace. For suddenly, he was young. He had everything he wished on this world. He had reached his goals. He was really king, the most beautiful and beloved man of Israel. And now, lost. Absalom, my son. My son.
We see in the third place, David's wish. Was David quite without any comfort?
No. When you are a child of God, you can have very grieving, very dark times in your life. But the Lord shall never forsake and forget you. There shall always be a hidden help and sustaining in the deepest of your heart. The Lord shall always keep faithful. Also then you should say, the Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has forsaken me. Also when you have to say, when I look forwards, I don't see him. When I look backwards, I cannot find him. Where is the Lord? Well, that crying for the Lord is the proof that he is in you and with you and never shall forsake you. That's what happens here. David's wish. Would God, I have died for thee. Absalom, my son, I had died for thee.
An expression of a very deep, deep sorrow. Absalom, his darling, his own flesh, dead. And only by experience you can know what it means. The more you love, the more you suffer. Great love brings great sufferings and great griefs. For in this loss, there is no comfort. Only the love of God in Christ that loves make you suffering about your sin. But that love makes you really happy. The love of Christ. When that wonderful divine secret is revealed in your heart, that God gave his only begotten Son unto death for you, and that by thy death, life is come in your soul, and by his death, your sins are taken away,
And by that wonderful Savior, you are brought back to God, reconciled with God. Love knows his own suffering. And when the love of Christ is living in our heart, we know the suffering because our sin. And we weep all our life, tears of our soul, till we come there, where the Lord take away our last tears. Though my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace. There is a deep, deep sorrow in the loss of his dear child, in the knowledge that that child is lost for all eternity. For David, in his own experience, he knew also the other side. He had lost a child before, and had such a deep grief in his heart then too. Wrestled and prayed to the Lord, O Lord, that he may live. And the Lord took him away. But when he was taken away, there came such a wonderful joy, and such a living hope in his heart. I shall go to him. He shall not come back to me. We shall be united into all eternity. My child and I, with the whole church, in perfect glory of God. What a comfort, when that's really true. Many people say that. Many people think that. When it has no foundation. For it's only founded and true when we are by living faith, saving faith, united with Christ. We know in our own experience, by the teaching of the Spirit, that wonderful secret, that God gave his only begotten Son for me. Then it's founded in his justice. Love and justice, together, united. What was the comfort which David had in this sad situation? Would God that I had died, he could die. Death was for him not terrible. He could heed God. He had grace. He was a child of God. His guilt, his sin was washed away. And in the deepest sorrow of his heart, he knew that. He felt that. When I shall die, I shall be with the Lord. I shall be there. There is no sin. The comfort of that eternal covenant didn't leave him here in his most difficult moments. Would God, I have died. For my son was in the time of grace then now. Then he was still in the possibility of being converted. But it's now gone. It's now lost for all eternity. And also, we see something of Christ in this wish. We see the wonderful grace of Christ. For when you have a son, Father, who is willing really to kill you, for Absalom, he should have killed his father, really. When you had such a son, can you love such a child who wants to kill you, who hates you, who wants to destroy you? Can you love such a son? Can you pray for such a son? By nature, not. Love your enemies. loving his enemies, loving his haters. That's Christ. He died for us when we were still enemies. So we see the work of grace in this wish of David. No hate, but love. The prayer for his wicked child, now lost. It's not a time to pray anymore. It's not a prayer at all. It's only the wish of his heart, the love of his heart, a new heart, a heart in which Christ is living. A very difficult time. There are times in our life when we must say, how can I come through? And yet he came. And therefore we end where we began. Time is short. The time of our suffering. The time of our grief. And let us see our life in the light of the last day. And let it be our prayer that we by grace also can say, although my house be not so with God, yet he has made me an everlasting covenant. How soon shall we be freed from all sorrow? Here we weep bitter tears about our children, about our enemies. We love them and they hate us. But there comes a moment that we shall sit in the throne of Christ, that we shall judge the world, that flesh has no role at all, that only God in Christ, his glory, his justice, shall fill us. Don't you know that the children of God shall sit in the throne of God and have part at the judgment of the world? Then we shall be at his side perfectly. Then we hate, which hate the Lord. Then we love the Lord in all eternity. For the condemnation of the wicked is just. How shall we escape? As we do not take heed at such a salvation, such a great Savior, let it be a warning for each of us. For then there stays no sacrifice for our sin, but an eternal damnation. Be warned. Seek Christ. Love him. Seek him. He who is an almighty and a willing Savior to change you, to renew you, and to fill you with the love of the living God. May the Lord bless his word to each of us. Amen. Let us pray and thank now. O Lord, we thank thy holy name. Give us grace to be a disciple, really, to learn the lessons we heard, that we may practice it. O Lord, we are so poor, so sinful, so weak in ourselves. We see it in the man after thy heart. What an idol, his own child. What a wrongdoing. What a ruin in his family. And then only we can admire the greatness of thy love, forgiving love. Thy love, O eternal Father, thou gavest thy only Son, thy most beloved Son, and didn't spare him, And thou gavest thyself, O dear Son. And therefore, there was and is forgiveness for David, that eternal covenant, well ordered, so sure, all his salvation, only indeed, that it may be our way, our wish, our reality, by thy wonderful grace. O Lord, we thank thee for this thy holy word. Go with us and give that it bear fruit in our lives, in our family life, that we are born, our children, our young people, not to follow the world, but to follow the word. Bless our meeting together with the young people, and bless thy word to their souls, and give us this day thy nearness, that it may be really thy day, that we are with thee, and thou art in us, and that we may receive strength, the wisdom, and the love to do what we hear. Hearers of thy word, pardon our sins, O Lord, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.